Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Friday. Eric the Tech, it's Friday. Ready? It's Friday.
It is.
Can you tell the difference between days? It doesn't matter. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It just doesn't matter. It's where truth can't be silenced. It's a 24/7 job, that's for sure. A lot of things to get into. First of all, HagmanStore.com. Please, folks, get your coffee. Get your coffee while you still can. Before, I don't know, before some crazed governor will call it, you know, unnecessary items. There it is right there. Three blends of coffee. The Detective's Choice, hypercaffeinated, Patriot Blend, and Revolution Blend Coffee. Some mugs, t-shirts. Eric the Tech designed them all. That's right. My son-in-law, what a great, talented man. All right. Again, HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. All right. Now, HagmanReportLive.com, that's where you'll find the audio videos and, of course, the program descriptions, HagmanReportLive.com, and HagmanReport.com as well. All right. If things can't get any crazier, you've got the crazed Michigan governor telling Home Depot to shut down unnecessary flooring, tiles, and garden centers. Okay. I don't know what to say. I don't know what more to say about this except to say this is really Looney Tunes. Now, I'm not going to spend the first segment of this hour talking about the coronavirus. I'm just not going to do it. Just hold on, because at the end of this hour, I will, because I do think all of what we're seeing right now, if you look, and you know, we are looking through a glass darkly at certain things, I think you're going to see that there's a method here, some things taking place here that's directed to destroying our country, obviously. I'm the master of understatement, right? And President Trump is trying to fight back against this. I think what we're seeing, and stay with me on this, I think what we're seeing is an extension of Spygate, of Russiagate. I've been doing a lot of research and a lot of sifting through documents and this is what I've come up with. I've got three video clips to show for you. Three. Well, actually four, but primarily three. Four videos, video clips, kind of tying pieces together. I'm taking a piece from over here, and a piece from over here, and a piece from right there, and tying it all together. I'm looking at this now purely, well, not purely, it's not like Mr. Haney now from Green Acres. I'm looking at this from a primarily political perspective. But that political perspective also kind of grabs and just is choking our way of life, our freedoms, our constitutional rights, our God-given rights delineated by the Constitution. Look, I know there is a virus. It is the Communist Chinese Party virus from Wuhan. I get that. I know that. I know. But there's also a republic. Unlike other nations of the world, we are a constitutional republic. We're not like Great Britain. Look, we are friends with Great Britain. Hello, listeners over there. How you doing? But our government's not structured that way. It's not a monarchy. Our government is not structured like Canada or like Israel or like a Western nation. It's not structured that way. So when you come in and shut down the country because of a threat, whether it's real or perceived, it doesn't really matter what the it is. The result is the same. And the result, that being, we're never going to have. I mean, we're not going to look the same way in 6 months as we did 6 months ago from today. Okay, let's go back in time a little bit, shall we? Let's go back into the campaign of 2016. Yes, I'm going to tie this all up for you. And tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if you feel free, say you're wrong. But stick with me. So let's go back to the campaign of 2016. Early on during the presidential campaign for 2016, it was Hillary Clinton. Absolutely. She was a shoo-in. Everyone was talking about Hillary Clinton being the next POTUS. With that would have come eight more years of the Obama regime, that agenda, wrapping up years of the Bush-Clinton dynasties. That's right, another Clinton dynasty. An extension of the Bush-is dynasties, or Bush dynasties, into a global governance situation. What do you see with the World Health Organization right now? What do you see with the World Health Organization? You see a World Health Organization. World Organization. Apply that to political governance. That's still the goal. That's still the goal here. By the way, Tucker Carlson, I don't know, Eric the Tech, do you have that last video which would have been video 4. Do you have that ready to go? What's that? All right. Now, folks, yesterday I spoke about Tedros. Yeah, and yes, I know he's not a doctor, medical doctor. Okay, I know that. Health minister, I get that. Thank you for the multiple corrections in both email and commentary on YouTube. I believe that. I mean, I thank you for that. But listen to what Tucker Carlson has to say about the director of the World Health Organization, and then I'm going to get back on point, taking you back to 2016. I'm thinking of it. Might as well toss this one out now. So go ahead and play that. Oh, okay. Just yell in my ear, if you don't mind, when you're ready. What's that? Had it and failed. You know, that's just the way it goes. But see, okay, it goes back to 2016, and through today, because today we're seeing people like the governor of Michigan saying to Home Depot, well, look, flooring, you know what? Let me check on my list of essentials. You don't need flooring. How about Vermont? You don't need garden seeds. The stay-at-home order. The Garcetti order from Los Angeles, mid-March. Here it is right here. Don't go outside. Don't play ball. Don't play frisbee. From governors to mayors onward. All right. It's we've never seen anything like this before. All right. Here's Tucker Carlson exposing Tedros. 2 minutes. Just watch this.
That no organization has dishonored itself more thoroughly during this pandemic than the World Health Organization. In the early days of the fast-spreading outbreak, the World Health Organization told a series of lies at the behest of the Chinese government that undoubtedly cost people their lives. WHO told the world the virus couldn't spread person to person long after it was perfectly clear that it could. At the same moment China was hoarding face masks, WHO claimed face masks didn't help. By early February, the WHO was still whining about the stigma and racism of connecting the virus to the country it came from. At every step of this disaster, the WHO has done the bidding of its masters in Beijing, and often at the expense of public health. This week, the president said he's considering pulling funding from WHO. Our country gives that corrupt organization more than $100 million a year. We're the largest donors. Why? So we can be misled so more people can die? It's not clear why. The head of WHO, Tedros Adhanom, is a buffoonish villain right out of the Saturday morning cartoons. This so-called public health official once covered up cholera outbreaks in Ethiopia for political reasons. Of course, he is a public health official, if you can even imagine. You couldn't pick a worse candidate if you tried. He was China's candidate, needless to say. Now he's claiming that if the United States pulls funding for World Health Organization, we'll have blood on our hands.
Please don't politicize this virus. If you want to have many more body bags, then you do it. If you don't want many more body bags, then you refrain from politicizing it.
Don't politicize this, he begs. The irony alarm goes off. As of tonight, World Health Organization is refusing to help Taiwan battle the pandemic. Why is that, politics? The Chinese government doesn't like Taiwan. WHO leaders do whatever China tells them to do. They're letting the Taiwanese people suffer. Just this week, Tedros attacked Taiwan again. He claimed that some anonymous person said something racist about him online, and it must be the fault of the Taiwanese government. He offered no evidence for that. This man is a joke, he's an embarrassment and a danger, and we should not be sending him any more U.S. dollars. Lonnie Chen is a fellow at the Hoover Institution, and he joins us tonight. Lonnie, thanks so much for coming on. So why is this? I mean, I guess you could ignore it.
All right. You get the idea, right? From yesterday to today, you get the idea. And by the way, the second greatest donor to the World Health Organization, in case you missed yesterday, of course, is, yes, that's right. Say it with me. Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Okay. Above the United Kingdom. So there you have that. All right. Now, think about President Trump's statement saying, we're going to pull funding from this because this is not right. They're doing China's bidding. Well, if you look at going back to 2016, and if you look at really, take the late 60s, early 70s through the present, you saw administrations and State Department officials, specifically Henry Kissinger, making nice with China, the backdoor diplomacy. Specifically Kissinger and under the Nixon administration. And then you saw what happened with Bill Clinton during the 90s with China, what he had given China and what China had stolen from the United States. And that went right through right through Obama, through the Obama regime. President Trump gets in, says, no, no, we can't have any of this. And is looking at China, corrected, the misaligned trade agreements and tariff agreements with China. And boy, all of a sudden, we have what? We've got problems with a Chinese communist during the Chinese Party virus. Okay, look, you know, most viruses appear to come from Southeast Asia, from China, and maybe that's just a coincidence. I don't know. But it's certainly, the timing is certainly interesting, especially when you consider, again, the coup against President Trump, which translates to the coup against this republic, the United States of America. We have seen, we've talked about lawlessness. What was in the news before this virus? What were we talking about? We were talking about a number of things. We were talking about the southern border. We were talking about immigration, illegal immigration, which to some extent we still are. But one of the big things that we're talking about was the coup against President Trump, or the coup against you and I, the American people, by the left, by the communists in this country. And I'm getting to the point now where I don't want to call them Democrats. I don't want to call them Democratic Socialists. I'll just call them communists, leftists, globalists, whatever the phrase, that's what they are. That was in the news. And it's interesting because we've got some recent news. Think back again to 2016. Hillary was going to get in. Trump came on the scene, was a sudden hit because he was an immediate hit because he was a plain talker. He could relate to you and I. He wasn't a politician, and arguably, I would say, still is not. And now we see where. We saw multiple attempts to keep him out of the race, then multiple attempts to take him out, and then multiple attempts to oust him from the legitimate office of the presidency. Well, news has come out that exculpatory transcripts from an FBI surveillance declassified and released concerning George Papadopoulos, they've come out and they've proven to be very interesting. Now, working on all of this, remember, this is not me saying this, remember, Attorney General Barr, Durham, especially Durham, there are going to be mass arrests and people are going to go to Guantanamo and there are going to be perp walks, orange jumpsuits, handcuffs. You know, you remember that, right? Because of the deep state actors going against President Donald Trump, we came so close to a coup in this country. Did you happen to catch Lou Dobbs yesterday? Let's take a look at Lou Dobbs, and Lou Dobbs happens to address this issue, the issue about, he talks to Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, to talk about the recent revelations around what I mentioned was the exculpatory transcript of George Papadopoulos, the FBI surveillance wire. That reveals, it was declassified and released, which has gotten no press, but it reveals that there was no basis for any kind of investigation to be opened by the intelligence community. I'll let Lou Dobbs do the talking here. Pay really close attention to this because this intertwines, I really believe. This all kind of fits together with the current events. Go ahead and run Lou Dobbs. Pay real close attention.
Newly uncovered transcripts reveal an interview between former Trump campaign aide George Papadopoulos and a confidential FBI source 2 weeks before the 2016 election. The transcript shows Papadopoulos repeatedly denying that the Trump campaign had ever worked with Russia to hack to release emails stolen from the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign, even though that confidential source kept pressing him to acknowledge exactly that falsehood. It wasn't included, by the way, the transcript of that conversation in the FBI's fraudulent FISA applications against another former Trump campaign advisor, Carter Page. Attorney General William Barr providing an update to the much-anticipated Spygate investigation, or the Russia investigation, if you prefer, at the Justice Department. John Durham working on that assignment of Spygate investigations. Attorney General Barr saying that Durham won't be recommending prosecutions. Listen to this.
He is looking to bring to justice people who were engaged in abuses if he can show that they were criminal violations, and that's what the focus is on. My own view is that the evidence shows that we're not dealing with just mistakes or sloppiness. There was something far more troubling here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. And if people broke the law, and we can establish that with the evidence, they will be prosecuted.
Well, I think you might say we've heard all of that before, and you would expect it of any decent or honorable attorney general. But the fact is, we've been told there's no guarantee of anybody being brought to justice by that attorney general. There'll be no report. And basically, we're being told, don't mind us as we take another year and disappoint everyone who expects the Justice Department to bring justice to those who have perpetrated this great crime against our government and our way of life, in fact.
Can you,
well, joining us tonight is Republican Houseman.
All right. You heard that Lou Dobbs, you heard that interview with Barr or the excerpt from Bill Barr and what Lou Dobbs had to say. You might not know if you're not up on this exactly what he's talking about. So let me introduce a few things here. Because it's been a long time since anyone really, since the original 2018 congressional request that many, I mean, so many people, we've all forgotten what was included in the declassification request. Remember, we were all talking about declassification, declass. Remember that? intelligence documents that were presented to the Gang of Eight in 2016 that pertain to FISA application used against Carter Page, used against specifically Carter Page, including all exculpatory documents that may not have been presented to the FISA court. That's what we wanted to have declassed. That included transcripts of the FBI wiretap operations using confidential human sources that were run against members of the Trump campaign, including George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. So Papadopoulos and Page. Okay, now hold that thought. I just described to you what we were looking for. Declass, declass, declass. Finally, now it comes out and there's exculpatory evidence there. Who better to explain this? Not me. Again, I'm the master of monosyllabism. I just proved it there. Master of monosyllabism. Anyway, not me, but Dan Bongino. That's right. Like I said, I kind of walk through the fields and I pick this apple and that lemon and are they up that high? I don't know. Anyway. Listen to Dan, watch Dan Bongino, listen to what he's got to say. He explains this really well. He wrote the book, Spygate and Exonerated, and of course he has a radio and podcast. But listen to him explain this. Now again, we're talking about current events, but we have to kind of go back a little ways into 2016 and kind of flip around and really grab this whole mosaic. In order to understand and put in perspective what's going on today. So go ahead and play Bongino starting at 17:30 in the podcast from yesterday.
Dizzle. The Papa D transcripts. What are you talking about? Ah, well, we've kind of been referencing these forever, but now we know exactly what he said. So just to be clear, Papadopoulos, who was a target of the FBI in early spring of 2016. No, we're not allowed to say that. They didn't get the dossier until July 26th and didn't open the case till July 31st. I'm sorry if you fell for that stupid story. We're going to eviscerate that today. Ladies and gentlemen, George Papadopoulos was a target of the FBI, I believe, and the intelligence community, right after his name was announced in March of 2016 by President Trump as a foreign policy advisor, while President Trump was in an editorial board meeting with the New York Times. Of course, that's not the official story the FBI wants you to believe. Hey, we didn't even open up the Crossfire Hurricane case till July 31st of 2016. Yeah, sure. So what happens here? I'll just quickly put the conclusion in abstract out front, and then I'll go through the deets in the case so you know exactly what happened. Here is, based on my investigations and in my two books, Spygate and Exonerated, and what we'll cover in our third book, here is what I'm reasonably confident happened. This all starts in March of 2016, when then-candidate Donald Trump, remember, it's the election, he goes and meets with the New York Times editorial board. If you remember at the time, the Trump campaign was being filleted because all of the foreign policy advisors with gravitas, that dreaded DC term, the serious foreign policy advisors, were choosing other campaigns. Remember, he was kind of a semi-front runner back then, but not really like a de facto nominee. It's still early in the process. You have to view the case through the context of what was happening at the time. In March of 2016, a lot of these, you know, the serious people, Joe, the editorial boards, are writing off the Trump campaign. What a bunch of dopes. They don't have anyone. So he's at this New York Times editorial board, and he's being asked about foreign policy stuff. And they say, well, you know, Mr. President, yeah, basically you're not a serious campaign is what they're hitting at. Show us who your foreign policy advisors are. So Trump whips out a piece of paper. You got to remember this. March of 2016. Remember the dates. This timeline's going to matter. Mm-hmm. And two of the names on there are people – who must ring bells with the FBI and CIA folks right away. I'm talking about the upper-level cabal who have Trump in their sights from day one. And two of the names on the list he whips out are Carter Page and George Papadopoulos. Now, of course, they use that opportunity in New York Times to write an article where they make fun of him. Look at this idiot. He's not as serious as the other campaigns. A lot of the foreign policy advisors who had, you know, were considered the professionals in the field or whatever had gone over to Rubio or Ted Cruz. So the New York Times, again, uses the opportunity to write a story. And in that story, they make fun of Trump. This is important. And they include the names of Page and Papadopoulos. Well, of course, the Obama administration, still in office, it's 2016, sees this as a golden opportunity They're already, I believe, spying on the Trump campaign and other campaigns. I firmly believe that based on some sourcing, let's say. Now they see they have a vehicle and an in to make this formal, to go and get FISA warrants, because the spying that's happening before that, I believe, was unmasking, where they're listening in on conversations between people on the campaign and foreign governments, and they're pretending they're listening in on the foreign government, which is legal, but they're really listening in on the Trump campaigns and the other campaigns. So right. In order to make it formal, they want a FISA warrant. They want to go to a FISA court to get paper, to get a warrant to spy on these people. So what do? They hear the name, somebody, who exactly, I'm not sure. Is it Brennan? Is it Brennan and Comey? Is it someone in the National Security Council with Obama? Nobody really knows who the founder of the feast here is. That one. But someone comes up with the idea, hey, why don't we just spy on these two guys, Page and Papadopoulos? Trump just said they're his foreign policy advisors. They could be colluding with a foreign government. Now, of course, that's all made up. Neither Page nor Papadopoulos is doing it. That's in March. Conveniently, in May, we have what I believe is a setup. We have an Australian diplomat who meets with George Papadopoulos in London by the name of Alexander Downer. That happens in May. He's asking Papadopoulos, who again they know now is with the Trump team. It's May, and back in March is when Trump. Oh, by the way, one more quick note to this timeline. And Joe, if I'm losing you, please stop me.
No,
Jim Clapper makes a very remember Jim Clapper? Obama's senior level intelligence officials? You know Clapper, right? Mm-hmm. Former head of the NSA.
Oh, Clapper.
Clapper makes a trip over to Australia in March.
Right.
Right after the announcement, right around that time, that Page and Papadopoulos are announced as foreign policy advisors to the Trump team. Crazy. And then an Australian diplomat in May, took a little bit of time to get the operation together, goes and meets with Papadopoulos in this bar in London and alleges that Papadopoulos told him that the Russians want to help us with Hillary's emails. That us line's important. That's not exactly what was said, but the wording of it and the way the FBI suggested was that Downer had some cryptic information from a Trump team member about the Russians want to help us. The us matters.
Okay, if you can
so
pause
March
it,
Trump makes the announcement.
Keep it.
March clap.
Okay. And thank you, Eric the Tech. Folks, these details are important. The timeline is important. Remember, sorry, Dan, I didn't mean for that picture to be frozen like that. I just gave it for you. These details are important because remember, you had Donald Trump come on the scene. You had, Hillary Clinton to supposedly shoe in the media. And remember this too. And this is why I constantly harp on the fact that, that Steve and I, as co-defendants in a lawsuit, you know, ostensibly because we're not real journalists. No, I'm not a journalist. I'm an investigator. But the fact is this, the journalists out there under the six corporations funneling this information out there are shaping the narrative along with the political operatives. But notice the global aspect of this. This is not just only maintained within the United States. No. Clap on, clap off. Going to Australia, talking to Downer. Things happening in London. You know, MI6 handling some operations there on behalf of the CIA and the ODNI. So you've got lining up against the president before he was president. You've got the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, for Obama. You have John Brennan, the head of CIA for previous national security advisor under Obama, for Obama, now head of the CIA under Obama. You have all of these deep state residents kind of playing both domestically and internationally to take out President Trump. Why? Because they don't like him? Because he's got too much money? Because they got fired on The Apprentice? Why? It's because this is a global takeover, just like you're seeing today with the coronavirus. This is a global takeover. This is a global shutdown. This is for all of the flipping marbles out there. We are in the fight of our lives. And what really, where they showed their hand, I'm convinced of this, where they showed their hand right now, is this Russiagate. I'm absolutely convinced. Because right around the same time, remember, when Comey found, well, that's kind of a, oh, that when Comey announced, hey, there's emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And that gave way to Pizzagate. And remember, anyone who said Pizzagate, my God, you're nuts. Ah, even today, people are saying, don't say Pizzagate. Don't talk about that. No. Because it sullies the narrative. You don't want to talk about that. That's too far out. That's too far out there. No, it's all part of it. It was legitimate then. It's legitimate today. It's big business. It's big business. Okay. Let me calm down here. Because we're paying the price. Steve and I are paying the price for this. But this is not about us. This is about, you know, getting caught in that, at the periphery of this web. And Lord knows, I'm reading too where I'm getting caught up in Mueller's investigation, or got caught up in Mueller's investigation as a person of interest. Where in the hell did that come from? What did I do? I think it's Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech, did you do something? Eric the Tech and I, all we did was have breakfast at the National Press Club one day. What did you do, Eric the Tech?
Busted.
I know. All right. But seriously, getting back to work, and that is serious. Notified in legal briefs of them. Steve Quayle and I are under investigation by the FBI. I don't quite, it's like, okay, where'd that come from? Mueller's probe and such. Huh? All right. Wonder how Papadopoulos felt. Huh? Or Carter Page, maybe more appropriately. I don't know. But you see where this is all going. 2016, a threat looms on the horizon. And isn't this the way it always is? A threat. A threat to the global order. Donald Trump. All right, so in comes the intelligence agencies, and you know Schumer said they'll get you six ways to Sunday. I mean, Schumer said that. So they go after President Trump through Carter Page and Papadopoulos back in May of 2016. And the time is important, as Bongino said, in May. But yet, the Crossfire Hurricane investigation didn't start until July 31st. May, June, and all of July. 3 months. What was going on during that 3 months? Dan Bongino told you. Setting up the operation, getting together the world intelligence agencies, the Five Eyes. Taking Donald Trump down. Taking and to take him down. And then what Dan Bongino does not get into and go move forward with is back in October when the sudden appearance of the emails and the data, I won't just say emails, but data on Anthony Weiner's laptop, which was legitimate. And of course, the missing not 33,000, but 56 plus thousand emails of Hillary Clinton. Remember also during that, well, I don't want to understand that Libya has things to do with this as well. Okay. In terms of, what was going on there, the restructuring of Libya by killing Gaddafi. Remember, Kankles, saying, hey, we came. We saw he died, you know, and cackled it up there, right? with a PBS interview. And that had to do with running missiles and armaments and men, fighters from really from the entire eastern or the northern part of Africa, across the northern part of Africa up into Turkey, Jordan, and ultimately destined for Syria. But that's another story. That's on a larger power shift. But getting back to the actual issue here, what has come out recently were the transcripts. The FBI released, declassified and released the information about Papadopoulos, the transcripts. And wouldn't you know it, there's nothing in these transcripts that would implicate Papadopoulos or Carter Page in any kind of nefarious activity. So what you saw was, and if you want to continue with Dan Bongino, I think he kind of wraps it up in the next minute and a half, 2 minutes. But what you saw there was initially Lou Dobbs talking to Barr saying, well, it's up to Durham. You know, if Durham finds anything, well, we'll take care of it. And, you know, and then of course you see Dan Bongino saying, okay, well, this is what he's talking about. He's talking about these exculpatory transcripts. And he's explaining that, and that's when I cut him off and entered into my diatribe. Go ahead and continue that.
Heads over to Australia. May, an Australian diplomat, and I believe is what I believe thoroughly is a setup, meets with Papadopoulos and alleges that the Russians want to help, says the Russians want to help us or something to that effect. Let's go to the transcripts first in Catherine Herridge's piece, because what happens? I believe in May, as this setup of Papadopoulos is happening, they get nothing. They get zero. They get squat. They do every background they can on Papadopoulos, and they have absolutely nothing, despite the fact that they're trying to set him up, because they need a reason to go to the FISA court to produce information. So I believe they then switch to Carter Page. They get desperate when they find nothing in Carter Page. So in the fall, basically in October, November, right before the election, what do? They go back to Papadopoulos and try to set him up again. And now we have the receipts of what was said. Catherine Herridge, be in the show notes. Please read this article, Bongino.com/newsletter. Sign up for my newsletter. I'll send you these articles every day. Former Trump campaign advisor denied campaign was involved in DNC hack and recorded conversation. Now, we already knew these transcripts exist, but we never had them. Listen to this crap. So they hit Page in May with a setup, a sting. The setup doesn't work. Remember the us line. Remember the alleged Papadopoulos said the Russians tried to help us. So that us could have meant Page too. So they go on. They try to investigate Carter Page throughout the summer. They get nothing on Page. They get desperate, Joe. So right before the election, they send another sting operative in, a human source, and record Papadopoulos, hoping to get him to talk about this Russian collusion. But that's not what he says. He says this. Yeah. Oh, boy. Proof always kind of matters. This is the actual conversation from the FBI source in the fall with Papadopoulos. So the source says to Papadopoulos, you don't think anyone from the Trump campaign had anything to do with effing over at the DNC? Papadopoulos, no. The source, really? Papadopoulos, no, I know that for a fact. Source says, well, how do you know that for a fact? Papa D, because listen, I've been working with them for the last 9 months, the Trump team. And all this stuff that's happening, what, the last 4 months? He goes on. Keep in mind, he goes on. The source says, he clearly says no in that last one. So the source says, but you don't think anyone would have done it, like undercover, insinuating there's collusion going on? Papadopoulos, no, I don't think so. There's no reason. He goes, first of all, it's illegal. Come on, you know to do that S word. Denial number two. There can't be three denials. I thought we were spying on this guy because we had evidence he was colluding with the Russians. But you have him on tape suggesting nobody's colluding with the Russians, including him. And this really happened.
Yeah.
These are actual transcripts. Let's go to part three. Denial number three. This is the same conversation. So this source clearly baiting him now, Joe. I mean, if this isn't a setup, I don't know what is. You think Russia is playing a big game in this election? Papadopoulos? Nope. Source. Well, why not? Papadopoulos, why would they? The source. Don't you think they have special interests? Papadopoulos. Something like that? Nah, I don't think so. That's all bull. No one knows who's hacking them.
Kind of exculpatory, isn't it?
Man. I was waiting for you to say
okay.
that.
Okay. All right.
Kind of.
Right, all right. You get the gist of this now, I hope. All right. So, again, the D-class has been made. We find from the D-class that neither Carter Page nor George Papadopoulos had done anything whatsoever. The Donald Trump campaign had not, was not guilty, was not engaged in any kind of Russian collusion as it was depicted in the media. It's now proven by the FBI's own D-class of transcripts. Okay, that's what Lou Dobbs was referring to. That's what Bongino explained. And just to be clear, let me grab this here. So just to be clear, in case, because this is kind of complicated. There are a lot of names, a lot of dates, a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts. What was released in May of 2016, Papadopoulos was contacted by two people. Two members of the DIA, Terrence Dudley and Greg Baker. They were working out of the U.S. Embassy in London. Two American spies working in London put Papadopoulos in contact with their ally counterpart in the Australian Embassy, Erica Thompson, through unofficial channels. After meeting with Downer's aide, Erica Thompson, on May 6th, now this goes back to May 6th of 2016, she sets up a meeting between Papadopoulos and her boss for May 10th. On May 10th, Erica Thompson, Mr. Alexander Downer, this is what Dan Bongino was talking about, meet with George Papadopoulos. After the meeting, Downer reports back to the Australian government on his conversation with Papadopoulos. Now, again, this information has been released. It's from this May 10th, 2016 meeting where communication from Downer, July 26, 2016, is referenced as the origin of Crossfire Hurricane that began on July 31st. But there's no there's nothing there. On August 2nd of 2016, that comes 3 days after July or 2 days after July 31st, I should say, Special Agent Peter Strzok, and another agent at the FBI met with Downer in London to discuss the conversation with Papadopoulos even further. Strzok and then received reading materials, which he sent Lisa Page a text. And a month later in 2016, the FBI used a longtime informant, Stefan Halper, which you heard, to make contact with Papadopoulos, pay him $3,000, and fly him to London for consulting work and a policy paper on Mediterranean energy issues. Now, as part of the spy operation, the FBI sent a female intelligence operative, a spy, under the alias Azra Turk, to pose as Halper's assistant and engage Papadopoulos. Gee, I wonder what that word, I wonder what engage means. A month later, October 21st of 2016, the FBI used Papadopoulos as a supplemental basis for a FISA warrant against Carter Page. And there you have it. It's kind of that in a nutshell. And a few weeks after the FBI received the FISA warrant against Carter Page, they ran another operation against Papadopoulos using a friend, an asset, and they wired this asset up. And now I've done that. Okay, I understand how that works. Go back to, Trey Gowdy, the former chairman of the House Oversight Committee, had told Maria Bartiromo back in May of 2019, last year, that he had seen the transcripts of the FBI, FBI's Jeffrey Weissman operation. And he had stated that those transcripts exonerate Papadopoulos. And subsequent D-class documents exonerate Carter Page. So, despite all of the surveillance operations and trying to set these individuals up, nothing happened. If we can, let's continue now. You saw part one with Lou Dobbs. citing Barr, talking about the Durham investigation. The Durham investigation saying, look, Durham's not going to issue reports. He's going to go after the people that, you know. Well, is he? We're 206, I believe, days out from an election, roughly. Three and a half years into the Donald Trump presidency, well over 3.5 years. And how many arrests? How many perp walks? That's what Lou Dobbs was saying initially. If we can pick up Lou Dobbs from the rest, and if you have to play it over in its entirety, go ahead. But this is Lou Dobbs talking with I can't find my notes. Watch this interview.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
Thank you.
House Minority Leader, great to have you with us on the show. Let's if we can, begin with the idea that the Attorney General is really dampening expectations as to who will be brought to justice, if ever. Your thoughts?
Well, justice needs to be brought because they just put through this country through 3 years. Now that we find it was a nightmare, we knew it was a lie the whole time. You now have the facts that those that brought forth went to the FISA court, lied to the judges, and tried to hold this, which I believe was a coup. We came the closest to ever having a coup in this country because President Trump was duly elected just because they did not like him. They tried to misuse their power to change the course of what the people voted for.
Now, people, I think, may already be forgetting the number of Democrats in high office, whether it's Adam Schiff, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, whether it's Gerald Nadler, and the list goes on, chairman of powerful committees, lying through their teeth about the president's guilt in all of this. Robert Mueller acting as though he were an avenging angel when, in point of fact, he, as an investigator and prosecutor, arguably are the only ones who had committed a crime. Certainly none of the targets of his investigation, including special counsel investigation, including the President of the United States, were found to have done anything illegal. It's stunning.
And those who were illegal...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, those who did illegal was almost our law enforcement. You watch at the highest echelon.
Right.
They falsified what was said to change the course of history, to go after this president who had done nothing wrong. But you are correct. Adam Schiff, the head of the Intel Committee, you know what he said? He said, remember when he said he had proof, and then he was proven wrong. And then he used the Intel Committee to say there was nothing wrong in the FISA court, and now we know they lied about that as well. These people need to be held accountable for what they had done to this country.
Do you have confidence in Attorney General Barr that he will do just that?
I do, but we should hold his feet to the fire. And you know what? Hold it to the rule of law. I don't want any special treatment on either side, but the way you look at today when you get this report, they knew the president's campaign had nothing to do with Russia. But you've got a director of the FBI. You've got people in the Justice Department who did not uphold the rule of law, who tried to bend it another way to try to change the outcome because they did not like how the election turned out. We can never allow this in this nation and never in the future to anybody else who holds that office, whether they be Democrat, Republican, or Green Party. We believe in the rule of law, and it was not upheld here. And the only way you make sure that is maintained is that people are held accountable for those actions and those lies.
Well, well said, Congressman, and I appreciate those words. The Democrats knocking down $250 billion of funding for paycheck protection, where does this end?
This
with
is key
what
too.
Has become a party of both obstruction, a party of hate, and a do-nothing party?
I'll tell you, the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi held this up last time. There's 17 million people who are unemployed in the last 3 weeks because of this China communist cover-up of a virus. Now what the Democrats are doing, we have a program that President Trump put forward that helps the small business. This isn't big banks. This is small business. This is keeping people in their job, paying their salary for the next 2 months, paying their rent. These are the restaurants we love that cannot work right now, the mom-and-pop shops, the entrepreneurs we all dream that we could become. And the Democrats said no to this. Why? Because Nancy Pelosi wants to change the election law. She wants to make sure prisoners and illegals get a paycheck. She wants to make sure that the Green New Deal gets implemented, and she's concerned about sanctuary cities. This is not the America I know, and we should not stand up for it. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. This is about the people of this nation, and we should not. This is disgusting what they are doing today.
And the president adamant that every Republican should be fighting this nonsense of mail-in voting across the country. Will you be successful in that opposition?
We have to be. We have watched here in California the fraud that the Democrats had. They go and harvest ballots. We watched that one member couldn't be seated this year because of harvesting of ballots. But what the Democrats want to do, I sat in that room that one Sunday night when we wanted to pass the CARES Act. Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, said no because she wanted to put money into change election law, the Kennedy Center, all the other things that have nothing to do with coronavirus. Remember what the number three Democrat, Clyburn, said, the majority whip. He said the coronavirus is a perfect opportunity to restructure government in our vision.
Okay, you can stop it right there.
That is what Nancy Pelosi believes.
You can stop it right there. And there it is. There it is. For whatever, the coronavirus or the Communist Chinese Party virus is, for whatever that is, you have the globalist leftists, as you saw, with respect to who the head of who is, the Bill Gates being the second largest funder, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation being the second largest funder to the World Health Organization. You see all of these leftists, globalists, Democrats, socialists, communists, you see all of them in government working together to change our nation, to change the way our government operates. So when you look at everything that's happened over the last really 4+ years, but specifically since Donald Trump came on the scene, they, the communists, had to tamp him down, get rid of him by any means necessary. Well, why didn't they just shoot him? It'd be easier. Why didn't they poison him? Whatever. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure that was an option. I would even bet that was discussed at some level somewhere. I don't know the answer to that. For whatever reason, this is the path that was taken. Attempt to really vilify the president, smear him, destroy his name, say, how dare this person work with the Russians, and then, of course, the Ukrainians, put him through the impeachment process, which was a total sham, spy on him, spy on members of his family, with not just electronic, but with physical surveillance, and he comes through not unscathed. I mean, there's some battle scars, I'm sure. So now we're going into the elections of 2020, a potential second term of Donald Trump. The Wuhan virus is released, somehow gets released, gets over to the United States. Imagine the coordination by the intelligence communities throughout the world back in 2016. Just think about what you heard, the Five Eyes coordinating this campaign against Donald Trump. Imagine that now applied to this virus threat, this pandemic, plandemic, along with a global surveillance grid that involves, yes, 5G. Am I saying 5G is part and parcel to the exacerbation of the Wuhan virus? No. Although studies show that it robs oxygen from hemoglobin and that whole exchange. I'm not a doctor. I don't know, but there's certainly evidence to show that, it's not good for a person because obviously there's an oxygen deprivation issue. But at the very least, if not that, most assuredly, it can act as or enhanced, could enhance the global surveillance grid. And look at the surveillance that's being done in the name of this virus in China, especially, and really throughout the world. So here's what I'm saying to you as I wrap this hour up. What we're seeing today, we've been warning about for really half a decade. Although we had no clue what the catalyst, what the event, whatever it would be, excuse me, we knew something was coming. Another a takedown attempt. While the deep state members are ostensibly walking free. You heard Barr. You saw Lou Dobbs. Now, Barr did come back with Laura Ingraham and discuss in the two-part video and talked about the firing of Atkinson, Michael Atkinson, the Intelligence Community Inspector General, the ongoing Durham investigation and the current FISA abuse issues. In light of the coronavirus, in light of all of that, you saw, you may have seen that or may not have seen it. But he called the measures that we're taking here rather draconian and stacked that up with what's happening with the federal debt. And this is something that could very well take down this country, this economy. The federal debt topping $24 trillion for the first time. The General Accounting Office saying that the current federal fiscal path is unsustainable. The debt of the federal government topped $24 trillion for the first time this past Tuesday. Back in 1996, the debt was at $5 trillion. In September of 08, it was $10 trillion. When Donald Trump took over shortly thereafter, it was $20 trillion. And now it's at $24 trillion. Folks, this is serious. I look at this I'm leaving this in your hands, but what I'm telling you is this. We know that the Wuhan virus, it's a thing, it's a danger. It's real, but it's being exploited. But like everything else, it's been weaponized. Literally and figuratively weaponized. The goal here is to take down President Trump. And by the way, the graves you're seeing being dug on Hart Island outside of the Bronx, don't send me any emails about that. Look, that's been done for years and years and years. That's kind of like a potter's field of things. But pull the lens back and take a look at what's happening here. This is an extension of the assault against the free state by the deep state, against the Donald Trump administration by the deep state, against you and I by the deep state. That's what this is. Think bigger, think bigger. Up next, I got a great, great segment for you up next. You need to strengthen your immune system. Listen to this. Stay right where you're at. Hey, welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report. The Friday edition, actually. Friday the 13th. Am I stuttering more than usual? You betcha. Why? Because it's Friday the 13th. And no, we actually are being hit by a lot of interference with respect to our electronics today. Thank you, Eric the Tech, for really pushing forward, pushing through. The only reason we're on is because of his duct tape MacGyvering of the studio, so I appreciate that. A lot of information to get into. You know, Dr. Paul Cottrell had him on for an update. He was last on February 17th. And he had laid out in that broadcast, and if you haven't seen that broadcast, go back and watch it and listen to it. He laid out on that day pretty much what we're seeing today. And he had laid out that, yes, you know, this, of course, is a manufactured virus. This is not from a bat. Of course, we know all of this. This is going back, you know, rehashing what we already know. But one thing he told me off air, and this is, and I'm sure I can share this without any problem, but it's both of our amazement of how people are not, they're not really understanding the peril, the potential peril, whether it's from the actual virus itself or whether it is the consequences, the impact, the financial impact, and the ability of the government to impose mass, even more mass surveillance, which is really the greater threat. An excellent article that was published, I think, a week ago, maybe longer, 10 days ago perhaps, by John Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute, talks about the mass surveillance state, which poses a greater threat, the virus or the mass surveillance state. And the replication of the things that are taking place in China being implemented here in the United States. There was a quote from Philip Dick that opened the writing of John Whitehead. If, as it seems, we are in the process of becoming a totalitarian society in which the state apparatus is all powerful, the ethics most important for the survival of the true free human individual would be, ready for this, cheat, lie, evade, fake it, be elsewhere, forge documents, build improved electronic gadgets in your garage that allow with the gadgets used by the authorities. Very interesting opening comment or commentary to that article. And the article is titled COVID-19 versus a mass surveillance state, which poses a greater threat. And I think that's the issue. Without understating or underplaying the threats from either the consequences or the actual event itself. And Dr. Cottrell, first half hour, talked about the what he expects to see, and that would be about 150 million infections, 5/6 of those on the mild side, okay, but 1/6 with those with the compromised immune systems, with other medical underlying complications. You're looking at a more serious outcome to that. So that's very interesting.
I have a update.
Okay.
This is Sam's Club right now in our town, the toilet paper aisle.
Need we say more? Look at that. For those listening by way of audio, nary a square to be found. Can't spare a square. For those Seinfeld, fans. Can't spare a square. Not a square to spare. Look at that. In real time, Sam's Club, but right now, and thanks to the viewers and listeners of this program to send that. However, on the upside, any takers? I'm holding a Hillary Clinton roll of toilet paper. I'll sell this for, I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
$1,000.
$1,000. You know what? Let's make it $999. Let's not be greedy. $999. Any takers?
You'll sign it too.
Sure, I'll sign. Yeah, I'll sign it for $999. Oh, already sold. Sorry, sold. All right. Folks, if you haven't done so already, visit HagmanStore.com. HagmanStore.com, even in panics and not panics, but even in times of peril, life is too short for a bad cup of coffee. Try Hagman Coffee. it does support organizations that help fight boots on the ground against child trafficking. Russ Dizdar and Craig Sawyer. That's HagmanStore.com. Try our coffee. And, of course, just a wonderful T-shirt or a wonderful shirt that Eric designed as well. Look at that. Hagman Report, Don't Tread on Me. It's a tri-blend shirt. It really is good. It repels fever. Can I make that claim? Oh, no, I'm going to be you know what, folks? And this is the sad part about this, and I'm serious when I say this. That what I just said right there, I guarantee you I am going to see that in a legal proceeding. I guarantee you. That's how bad things are out there. And no, I'm not talking about a troll comment or a errant comment on the message board. No. Oh, he made a medical claim. He can't do that. See? Fake news. We got to shut him down. You think I'm kidding, right? I'm not. I wish I was. I'm not. All right, folks. Here to weigh in on the current situation, the current events, none other than Ted Brower of healthmasters.com fame. HR5 is a coupon code, healthmasters.com. The only nutraceuticals that I will use. That's healthmasters.com. That's the only place I will go to purchase my nutritional supplements. Ultimate Multiple, HR5, coupon code. Look, if everyone is concerned, if you are as concerned about this particular virus, get the Hagman Brower Hagman immune support kit right above that. This is buy now, right above. Of course, the Ultimate Multiple. There it is. Both of them in the same frame.
That new formula is on sale that Austin was talking about.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So HR5 might not apply there if it's on sale, but nonetheless, it's good stuff. And while you're there, you can also tune into their show, heard Monday through Friday and Sundays, but Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 in the morning. There it is on the upper right there in dark blue. You can see it. All right. With that, Ted Brower, how are you, sir? You there?
Doug, I am here, Doug, and I'm here to tell you, can you hear me okay?
Huh?
Can you hear me,
yeah.
Doug?
Huh? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's so frustrating to me because, you know, I've been telling everybody for years on my show and on your show where the natural progression of all of this stuff's going to go. And well, here we are. Now we're here. We're right on the cusp of medical martial law. And yet, like you said just a few moments ago, the American people remain oblivious. And, you know, I have to give the globalists, the Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Druidic cult sect of the Canaanite ancient religions that run the planet, credit. They have given people so much fluoride over the past 70 years, we've lost discernment. They've gotten so many people on statin drugs, we've lost discernment. And very few people actually still have any ability to obtain concrete rational thought. I mean, everybody still has a Pollyanna approach that everything's happy, happy, happy. And it's not really happy, happy, happy right now. And the Christian right, the Christian conservatives, are so convinced that we're about to be raptured. I mean, this is what I'm hearing from my emails, that we're going to be raptured before the coronavirus shall hit us, that it'll be basically, we'll be gone here within moments and we'll be raptured. And so there is no reason to buy toilet paper. There's no reason to buy any food. There's no reason to be concerned. There's no reason to try to do anything besides just sit up in the heavenly grandstands and applaud while the book of Revelation breaks its seals and we are at a pre-trib rapture and we're all gone. I don't even know what to say about my colleagues, my fellow
danger.
Conservative Christians.
Ted, that's the danger of a pre-trib rapture doctrine. You know, it looks
right.
It's not a salvation issue, but the danger is relying on that and not preparing. So thank you for that.
Well, it goes further back. It goes back to the Scofield Reference Bible. It goes back to Samuel Untermyer, who pushed Scofield among the New York elite, who pushed him to the Oxford Press, who had his Bible printed and sent to thousands of Christian universities and institutions around the world to push this doctrine of that don't worry about it, just chill out and relax because nothing's going to happen to you, to the American population. And so now they're all convinced they're going to chill out and relax and nothing's going to happen to them. And yet we have a virus that the people in Ohio are saying now that they have already got 100,000 people infected as far as their projections. We've got a virus that with the elderly population out of a study that was just released out of China a few weeks ago, it's and now is also in the British Medical Journal Lancet, which says it's a 28% death rate among the elderly. We've got a virus that's absolutely horrific, and yet the Donald comes on national TV a few nights ago and says, you know, after he'd been telling us all for weeks now, there's no big deals like a common cold, like a simple flu thing, don't worry about it. All of a sudden, he declares basically that the Europeans can no longer come to America and creates mass hysteria in the markets and around the world. I mean, but, you know, not once did I ever hear him talk about calling on the name of Jesus. In fact, I've never heard him use the name Jesus once. In fact, I've never heard any sitting president use the name of Jesus. In fact, I pretty much feel that every sitting president since John F. Kennedy has been compromised in one way or another by the elite that run the international banking cartels and the secret societies and the intelligence services. And we've talked about that in depth on our show and on your show many, many times. So I'm not going to digress and go there. But what we have here is basically a cover up. And this coronavirus is really very, very real. I'm not saying it's not real. It's just as real as 9/11 of those towers coming down.
Right.
But we have a cover-up that's being used now to implement medical martial law, which I believe is on the footsteps of where we are right now. Masked forced vaccinations, which I hope I'm not right on. I mean, Israel's come out and says now they already have a vaccine in the final process of development. And all of this stuff happening right now to aid the New World Order, the boys and girls who took down Building 7, this druidic high priest class that runs the world since the ancient Canaanite religions. I mean, I can't be any more specific than that because they operate under a cloak of secrecy. I can start naming names, but it won't do any good because the names change as generations move on. So it's a group of people that the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities, these things in these places that we cannot see. And this is what we're against. And now we see ourselves there. And, you know, and here's the problem that I have. There's an article, there's a letter that Leonard Horowitz wrote. And he's one of the top people on the AIDS discussion. This guy's brilliant, Harvard graduate. And he wrote this letter to the Honorable Chad Wolf, the Department of Homeland Security, acting secretary. And he starts talking about the coronavirus. And this guy wrote an entire book on AIDS. I've quoted him many times. Brilliant man. Also a Christian. He goes, quote, the laboratory creation of this 219 coronavirus to which the AIDS HIV envelope gene is attached, as well as the middle fragment encoding a SARS severe acute respiratory syndrome spike protein, both appearing to have been inserted into this bioweapon, media censorship of accurate intelligence addressing the public's reasonable concerns, erroneous and terrorizing information being broadcast instead of helpful preventative strategies beyond hand washing and the use of face masks, the geopolitical and economic correlates and antecedents of the Wuhan outbreak. I'm not going to read you the rest of the letter. I've got it posted on the healthmasterswebsite.com news site. You can read it. And Horowitz is basically saying this is a bioweapon, just like Dr. Francis Boyle, the writer of the Bioweapons Treaty Act of 1989, said it was a bioweapon. It's interesting. I spoke to a medical doctor last week while I was getting an intravenous vitamin C drip, and I told her what this was. I quoted all of these notoriety people, including the guy who wrote the bioweapons treaty, and she says, I have to have proof. And I'm like, I'm giving you the proof. Now, she gives me a headache thinking about what she did today right now. I've got to be careful. I end with a headache. And she was just completely ignorant. Now, she bought the practice from another doctor who was wide awake, who died suddenly at the age of 53, but I'm not going to digress and talk about that today. And he was an alternative practitioner who died very young. But we've done shows on that with you too, Doug, on alternative practitioners who die young.
Yep.
And what was interesting about this, she's a Muslim, and she's basically told everybody that nobody can come into her office carrying a concealed weapon with a weapon.
Ted, you froze up there. I don't know if you can hear me right now.
Weapons permit.
There we go. You froze up just for a second, for a couple of seconds. So,
I'm sure they don't like what I'm talking about.
Okay, so hang on a second. But, you left off. What I last heard was concealed weapon, something about a concealed weapon.
Well, she's told the people coming to her office that we're not allowed to carry concealed weapons in her office. And she's Muslim. And I told her one day, I said, you're a Muslim. She goes, well, I know that. I said, well, what if somebody wants to come in here and kill you? And I said, I'm in here with you. And I said, I can protect you and I can protect the people in your office staff, but I can't if I can't carry my gun. And her response was, well, I don't like guns and they're not allowed in my office. I'm like, okay. She's the same lady who's telling me she needs proof now to prove that this thing's a bioweapon. I just gave her the proof like I just gave you guys the proof as far as I'm concerned. This is proof coming from multiple sources. And yet she doesn't want to hear it. And then I told her, I said, I looked at her and I laughed the other day. She's walking out of the room that we were having the IV in. And I said to her, I said, and she goes, well, it's like the Muslims, my faith. She says this in the office. She goes, you know, they can't get along with each other and they kill each other and they have all the oil they ever would need to be super wealthy, but they keep killing each other and the Shiites kill the Sunnis, et cetera. And I looked at her, you know, I said to her, I said, I need to see proof on that. That's what I said. I said, I need to see proof on that. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, no, I need proof. You make a statement here, but I need to see proof. And she goes, she kind of just knew what I was doing because I was basically –
well, you were mocking her,
racially
mocking her in a sense. You know, I mean, I would say the same thing. I just would watch the next time she sticks an IV in your arm. But okay.
Well, I don't let her do the IV. But here's what I'm going to say something to you guys, and this is something that I need to just be careful with what I say now. You know, Daily Mail says America shuts down as Congress is warned 150 million will be infected with coronavirus. High roads and airports are deserted. D.C. is a ghost town and millions of people mob grocery stores to get supplies. Congress attending physician Dr. Brian Monahan has predicted between 70 and 150 million in the United States will be infected with the coronavirus. The figures were highlighted by Congresswoman Rashadi Tlaib, whatever her name is, Thursday. It would see 46% of the population infected with the virus at the upper end of the projection. As of Thursday, there were more than 1,700 cases and 41 deaths in the United States. Guys, it's not 1,700 cases. It's hundreds of thousands. I'm just going to tell you that up front. My opinion, the health official estimates Ohio alone has 100,000 undiagnosed cases. Dramatically increasing outbreak has caused a state of emergency called in New York City, where shoppers were scrambling for supplies on Tuesday and Thursday evening after Donald Trump's speech, which, by the way, not only did it not mention the name of Jesus at all, it did not basically say anything about what you could do as an adult consumer or child or anybody else from a nutritional standpoint. 80% your immune system, eating sugar shuts your immune system down by like 80% within minutes after you eat the sugar. Stop eating sugar, number one. Number two, take D3, which activates the macrophages. I've done a whole show with you on that, which allows the macrophages to see a virus and kill it. This is part of our immune system. Take vitamin C, which maintains the ability of the immune system to fight diseases and infection. Take potassium iodide, because potassium iodide does a great job as far as killing viruses. Take astragalus if you start getting a sore throat immediately. And take black seed oil upon a sore throat immediately. This is together in the Brewer-Hagman immune kit. Now, I'm not making any claims on curing anything as far as coronavirus. Not making those claims. We've already seen a TV evangelist this week now under indictment in Missouri because he put somebody on saying that colloidal silver could cure coronavirus, which it does not. It's never been proven in vivo to do that in the body. Hasn't been proven. Now, if you put a virus together, you immerse it in colloidal silver, it will kill it. It'll suffocate it. But that doesn't mean it's going to do it inside of the human body. Our body's immune system has to have the nutrients that it needs to operate proper, efficiently and effectively with the immune system. Now, here's the problem that I have with all of this. Now, listen to me for a second. White House coronavirus expert Dr. Anthony Fauci says complete U.S. shutdown is on the table and warns the crisis could last 2 months. Now, he's saying that we could have the entire country shut down for 2 months. Now, guys, when I hear complete U.S. shutdown, I hear shutdown of the U.S. Postal Service. I hear shutdown of UPS. I hear shutdown of all other carriers. That's what I hear. Now, maybe that's not what he means, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying complete shutdown, complete U.S. shutdown. Now, here's the problem. I'm going to be real direct and frank with everybody listening right now. If you're sitting on the fence right now because you're waiting to get raptured, okay, whatever you want to do, I'm not going to argue with you. We're not going to belabor that. And you say, well, nothing's going to happen to me because I'm going to get raptured. Okay. Whatever you want to believe. But my Bible says that, you know, faith without action is meaningless. It tells us that in the book of Timothy. And it says that, you know, show me your faith and I'll show you my action with my faith. And he says, faith without action is meaningless. my grandmother, and I've quoted her many times, wrote it, has a plaque. In fact, I need to pull it up. I've got it laying around here somewhere. That says, Zwei Leben stützen brechen nieder Bet und Arbeit heißen sie. It's in German. And it means there's two principal foundations of life that can never be broken, that the first one is prayer and the second one is work. Guys, okay, believe God for your deliverance. I'm going to read you some scriptures in just a minute, scriptures of hope. But also realize that there's certain things you need to do. There's action you need to take. If you got somebody coughing up a lung behind you sitting in church, you might want to move. How about you just don't go to church for a few weeks just this thing blows over? How about that? How about you don't put your kids in the nursery right now? How about that? How about we just avoid crowds? I mean, Disney World shut down this week. Now they're shutting down on Sunday. And the globalists, basically who control the media, are also the primary stockholders in Disney, and they're willing to shut down operations that are making hundreds of millions of dollars because they don't want, I guess, their name to be tainted as having a coronavirus outbreak at Disney. I don't know. I personally don't think it'll reopen in 2 weeks. I think it's going to be closed for a couple months. So if the Postal Service shuts down and UPS shuts down, even if I wanted to send you some vitamins, I can't. You can't get them to you. You're going to be on your own. So if you've been waiting on the fence, waiting for the rapture, you're not raptured yet, which obviously we aren't yet, you might want to order some supplements. Now, if you don't want to get them from Health Masters and use the HR5 coupon, at this point, I don't care anymore. Order them anywhere. Go to your local drugstore. It doesn't make a difference. Make sure they're high-quality products. Make sure that the D3 is lanolin-based. Make sure that the astragalus is a super high-quality product. Make sure the vitamin C is a good ascorbate powder with basically you can put different antioxidants in it. Make sure they're real high-quality things. Or you can go ahead and go to healthmasters.com, and we're still operating. We still have all these products in stock that we've run out a couple times already, and we can ship them to you. But if you don't want to get them from us, just get them somewhere. It doesn't matter at this point.
Just to be clear, though, if people are listening and they're wondering, okay, so the Brouwer-Hagmann Healthy Immune Support Kit, just to be clear, you take that. Now, that – there's really nothing
no
else
claims.
You need to, no claims. I'm not making claims, but really there's no other nutritional supplement that you would need outside of that for this coronavirus. Is that an accurate statement?
I would say I'd still take the powdered multiples right below there.
Right.
And I would still basically take B complex and also take some 5-HTP. There's a bunch of things. You get the basic healthy lifestyle program if you want. It's on there too. But to keep that immune system strong, you need these basics. And if you really don't want to get all of those, just get the potassium iodide. You can order it individually. The C and the D3K2. Just get those three. I mean, this is one of those things that we're past the point of being concerned whether you want to support the Ted Nossen Brouwer show
right.
or the Doug Hagmann show
exactly.
or the Dave Hodges show.
Who
we're
cares?
Past that point now, guys. At this point in time, we're just talking about keeping the Patriot community
alive.
Healthy. That's all we're talking about.
Yeah, healthy, indeed.
Alive. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to make sure because I saw in a forum, a health forum, there were 32 pages of entries of, well, these are the nutraceuticals or these are the various, items to take, you know, to prevent or to help prevent, I should say, becoming affected from coronavirus. When, in fact, you can just go to healthmasters.com and bang, there it is. First two up there and take them, and you should feel good about that.
Well, I mean, here's another article. This is a letter that came in from Eminine, and she's over in Singapore. And Austin read part of this. I'm going to read part of it again. It says, Dear Dr. Ted and Austin, I've been listening to your broadcast for a couple of years now, and I've ordered products from you. I'm so grateful to God and your family for sharing your truth. And nothing but the truth. I was discharged from the hospital yesterday after contracting coronavirus. All glory to God, my illnesses were a very mild one, and I was warded on, put in a hospital on February the 14th and out on February the 20th. I had a fever for a short period, and it was cleared within a couple of days. I believe with all my heart it was because I was loading up on vitamins. And that is the reason I recovered so quickly. And guys, I'm not making any kind of claims that anybody who gets coronavirus can be healed by taking these supplements. All I'm saying is this. You might as well keep your immune system as strong as you possibly can in the event that you do have a problem like this. You know, and so that's the thing I'm trying to share with you guys today. Now, listen to me. This is so super important. You know, I don't know why people do what people do. I really don't. I mean, I can only pray to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's all I can do. But guys, the international banking community has had to cover its tracks because of this Ponzi scheme. Every fiat currency that's ever been put into existence within 100 years or so completely goes belly up. It's been 107 years for this system they put together in 1913 through Samuel Untermeyer and Woodrow Wilson. Remember Samuel Untermeyer, same guy I mentioned earlier with the Scofield Bible. It's all tied together through the Kabbalists, which are tied together to the high levels of the Masonic lodges. Until you get to about the 33 Masonic Lodge level, you really don't even realize what you're involved in. And at that point, they pull the covers off and they say, by the way, this is your religion now, and you need to forget everything else you've ever learned from this time, from your childhood on. And so a lot of these guys get into the Masonic Lodges as a social club to help their business interests or whatever. But at the highest levels, the Kabbalah is directly tied to the Masonic Lodges through the Zohar. And the Zohar is the fundamental root of all ancient satanic religions tied into one little lump sum with some snake in a tree they call Ein Sof that's supposed to be throughout the universe, this giant tree. I mean, this is what these guys believe. I'm not telling you that I believe any of this, but I think they're all nuts. But this is what they believe. And they're the guys who happen to be running the planet right now and have been since the ancient days of the Canaanite religions. And they're the ones that God looked down from heaven in Genesis chapter 6 and was so disturbed by what he had seen and what these guys had done that he flooded the planet. And they're doing everything they can to bring it back. I've told you guys for years that in Genesis chapter 6, it says that every thought of every man was evil all the time. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon the returning of the Son of Man. And that tells me every thought of every man evil. They're going to do that through a 5G network. And now some people are saying the 5G is linked back into the coronavirus as far as what it does to the cellular system and cellular respiration. And I don't know about that. Some of it's plausible, I guess. The thing about it, I know Wuhan had a big 5G opening. They had this big release. All of a sudden, this thing goes wild in Wuhan. And by the way, my friend who lives over there, the one I told you and read his letter to you guys well over almost 2 months ago now here on the show. I mean, it was back in January, 2 months ago, that I came on and you were kind enough, Doug, to allow me to come on with another guest, John Moore, to give you guys like an emergency update of what was going on with my friend in China. I mean, I've been on this thing since the second week in January, telling everybody what's going on for 2 months now. And all of a sudden, now the mainstream media is going, wow, this is pretty serious. You know, Donald was telling us just a few weeks ago, like I mentioned earlier in the show, that it was kind of a joke and just a regular cold or the flu. No big deal. Now he puts the whole planet into a worldwide panic while never mentioning the name of Jesus. Just thought I'd mention that. Guys, we have to be aware of who's doing this to us, why they're doing it, and what the end game is. The end game is martial law. The end game is a new world order. The end game is a new world, one world religion when they rebuild the third temple and bring the Antichrist out, according to the book of Thessalonians, who declares himself God, who considers himself to be the benighted Nephilim, the sons of the fallen, Luciferian, considers himself to be the son of Lucifer. The Antichrist, if you want to put it in this term. But the Christians believe that before that happens, they're going to be called up in the rapture. We mentioned that earlier because of the Scofield Bible teaching. And they'll watch from the heavenly grandstands and basically see the world come to an end and, in fact, be ruled by darkness for a long, long time. But they're not going to be involved in it because they're going to be gone. What if you get your dates wrong? I thought I'd mention that. Because there are a lot of people who think we're going to have a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib rapture. Some people think there'll be no rapture at all. But the reality is, there has to be something because it says if those times were not cut short, even the elect would not survive. So there has to be something happening where God's going to intervene. Just use your head. There's nothing wrong with taking some vitamin C, some potassium iodide, and some D3K2. There's nothing wrong with it. You're not going to stock up for the next 10-year supply with food. You know, for a few hundred dollars, you can get this entire kit and help your family to stay healthy with their immune system. There's no downside to this. You should be taking supplements anyhow. So let me finish talking about what Anthony Fauci says. Fauci said on Friday that the crisis will last for at least a few more weeks and possibly up to 2 months. He said there's no doubt we've not peaked and it could get much worse. Fauci said that he was not sure if the U.S. would reach full shutdown mode, but it's not off the table. I mentioned that earlier about shutting down the Postal Service. There are more than 1,700 people in the U.S. with coronavirus. 41 have died. This is not true. There's hundreds of thousands, many more dead. Fauci, in my opinion, Fauci promised testing was going to become more available, but did not give any specifics, guys. They tested like 70 people last week. I thought I'd mention that. In California, doctors have been receiving tests, but they're missing crucial components. They have to have certain reactive vials in there. They don't have them. There's been a hurry to approve a privately developed test. It seems to be seen, though, that when anyone in America who wants a test will be able to get a test, we have no idea when that'll happen. Until then, the country is being told to be vigilant about social distancing and stay away from the vulnerable. President Trump, who's come into contact with several dignitaries and politicians with the virus, has refused to be tested. Coronavirus symptoms. Yeah. Well, here we go, guys. It's kind of a dry, hacking cough. It's not a runny nose. So if you got a runny nose, it's probably a cold. And we also need to realize, too, Doug, that, you know, we've got – this is a really good article here from Greg Hunter. I like him, by the way, USA Watchdog, and he's interviewing somebody. He's talking about another way that markets can crash is a full-blown banking crisis that is brewing in Europe. At the center is Deutsche Bank, which the IMF called the most systemically dangerous bank in the world back in 2016. Nenner predicted on USAWatchdog.com that if Deutsche Bank stock crashed through 644 price target, it could go all the way to zero because it has a negative net worth. Wow. Now, we know that Angela Merkel has just said they're doing everything they can in Germany to prevent the healthcare system of Germany from collapsing. Now, I don't make this stuff up. Now, so Angela Merkel's warning that they're doing everything they can to prevent the healthcare system of Germany to collapse. Remember, we've got the United States, China, Japan, and Germany are the four major industrial leaders in the world. This is not a third world country. This is Germany. And she's saying that the healthcare system's in danger of collapse. They're doing everything they can to prevent that. We see a complete and total systemic collapse of the healthcare system in Italy. I have a friend of mine. His name's Mike Florentino from the Florentino restaurant chains. Brilliant man. Great business guy. Good friend. I mean, I'd do anything for the guy. I talked to him last night. Sent him a text at 11 o'clock last night with two Italian doctors talking in Italian with subcaptions underneath it, to verify if the subcaptions were accurate, because he speaks Italian. He was born in Italy. And he said, are you still up? And I said, yeah, I'm calling you now. So I'm talking to him at 11 o'clock till about 11:30 last night. And Dougie said that he has a bunch of his friends in Rome, south of Rome, a little north of Rome. He said it's like an apocalyptic scene. He said everything is closed. They're not even allowed out of their homes. They're having to ration health care. They're having to determine who lives and who dies. Remember what they said in China? While we were still getting truthful information out of China, that they were bringing the sick into sports stadiums, not in hospitals, in the sports stadiums. They were building hospitals in days. They couldn't even, the hospitals were filled so quickly, they had to bring them to sports stadiums. And they weren't bringing them into sports stadiums to treat them. They ran out of medical supplies. They were bringing them in there to basically allow them to die. And then they brought those additional 40 incinerators into Wuhan. And now we know that they were incinerating bodies hand over fist over there as far as the corpses. And now they're saying suddenly here a few weeks later, oh, everything's fine in China now. So I asked my buddy Mike, who's in China. I talked to him on Skype 2 nights ago. And I said to him, I said, Mike, what color are your eyes? And he says, what do you mean? I said, do you see blue? Because, you know, last time I was in China, and I've been there, you couldn't see skies. It was all gray. It was all completely and totally opaque. Couldn't see skies. And he goes, the skies are bright blue. Now, what does that mean? It means the factories aren't working, guys. They're not running. The smokestacks aren't belching poisonous material into the skies like they do with the number one polluter in the world, and why the United States is constantly called down as the number one polluter in the world is a total lie. And China's so bad you can barely breathe over there. He said, skies are blue. So what we have, and what he talked about on your show a few weeks ago, Doug, is the systemic collapse of the banking system, the systemic collapse of the manufacturing sectors. And now we're going to see a systemic collapse of things that are being manufactured with items and goods coming out of China. Now, when this happens, retailers will no longer have products to sell. There'll be massive layoffs. Not to mention, if we have a full systems-wide shutdown of the United States, like they're talking about with Fauci on this article I just read. So it's time, guys, to get your ducks in a row, so to speak. It's time. This weekend, my wife was supposed to drive up to North Carolina. We've got some stuff up there. We want to bring some. We have a little place up in North Carolina. We want to bring some additional supplies up there. And then when I found out Disney World was closed down, I thought, yeah. And then Dave Hodges, I talked to him today. He said that there are people talking to him now about there may be interstate checkpoints set up, which that's very possible in Arizona. Now, I'm not saying they're set up right now. I'm just saying there may be. And so I told Sharon and I told Harrison, my youngest son, I said, you know, we don't really need to send you on a 500-mile trip cross-country right now. Let's just kind of hold off on this. It's just not that important. It's not necessary because we don't know what they're going to do. I mean, this thing is kind of like happening as we watch it. And now the problem I have is why didn't Donald Trump, when he saw what was going on in Wuhan back in November, December, I'm assuming that he had intel for this, start developing test kits of the United States? Why hasn't he been personally tested? I don't know. I mean, why in the world until just a few weeks ago, this whole thing to him was a joke. It was a Democratic way to try to keep him from being reelected. What the heck, man? Really? Are we going to play politics right now? Like right now, we're bombing the crap out of Iraq again because they're saying that, you know, we had Iranian people do something to our troops and kill some people over there. So we're starting that. We've got 30,000 troops right now in Europe doing a big war game, whatever the heck that's all about. Why don't we bring the 30,000 troops back to the United States so in the event something happens, they'll be here. And they're not going to be shuttling in a bunch of United Nations troops into the United States for martial law. Why don't we just think about that for a second? Why don't we step out a little bit in front of this and realize that we don't want troops from another nation coming into the United States going house to house with hypodermic needles telling us that we have to be vaccinated or we're going to be hopefully speculating here and none of that's going to happen. Guys, what's going on with the government? Well, I can tell you what happened with the government. The government's been compromised. We've talked about this many times on the show. The Rockefeller-Rothschild medical industrial complex is set to make billions, if not trillions of dollars on a vaccine that's basically been developed now by Israel. They're saying they have it available. It'll be done just in a few weeks, according to the stuff that I've read and posted on the website. And it just seems strange to me that got developed so quickly. I could go off on that tirade, but I'm not going to. But the point is this. What in the world are we doing here in the United States as we watch? It is, and you wrote that article. It's so funny. You talked about Rutherford the other day, the Rutherford Institute, and you talked about Whitehead. I pulled this article up here. This is another article he wrote. Yep. And everybody needs to read this article. It's very important. I've got to post it on our website. It's called, "This is a Test. How will the Constitution fare during a nationwide lockdown?" You need to read this. And I covered it on my show the other day. I'm not going to read it because it's pretty long. But it talks about, you know, what are we going to do as a nation if they come house to house? I mean, they set us up now. Remember the Boston bombing a few years ago when they went house to house to house?
Yep.
Yeah. Now here's the other thing. Think about this. You know, we've had Zika and we've had SARS and we've had all these other viruses that have come across, come and gone, come and left, every whatever. Okay. I personally believe what they were doing with all of those is what Edward Bernays taught them to do, and that's test. You know, I was in the MBA program at Florida State. I was a college professor for several years. And one thing we learned, if you do direct mail marketing or any kind of marketing whatsoever, that you have to test what you're testing. In other words, if you write a sales letter, like let's say this was a sales letter, you wrote it and you mailed it out, you wouldn't send out 100,000 copies of the sales letter. You'd send out 1,000 copies to see what kind of response you'd get. And then you could gauge the response based upon what happened when you sent the sales letter out. That's called the beta test in psychology and in marketing. And so they've beta tested us now with all these different things. Zika's coming, SARS coming, this is coming, that's coming, all this stuff. Y2K is coming. All this stuff happens over and over and over again. And every time they're keeping data points, they're doing a chart and they're saying, okay, when we said these words in this combination, the American people went hysterical. We had this massive spike in the internet of people using those words over again. So now we have a data point, an algorithm right here, so we can plot this. Well, let's do it again, but let's use some other words. They test it. They plot another data point. And, well, let's have another virus break loose. This time we'll have Zika, which I told you guys was a complete and total fake. Okay, let's have Zika. Let's test it with Zika. Let's start spraying down in Miami. Let's see what the American population is willing to do. So they don't have to do this 15 or 20 times. Now they have the algorithms. They have the beta test done. They know what you're going to do before you do it. They tell you that on Facebook. After 100 likes on Facebook, they know what you're going to like and what you're not going to like. They can send you stuff they know you're going to like and stuff they send you stuff they know you're not going to like. This is all done by Edward Bernays, who, by the way, was a Sabbatean Luciferian Kabbalist, who was also the cousin of Sigmund Freud, who was also a Sabbatean Luciferian Kabbalist. And he learned to manipulate the groupthink and direct the course of the advertising any way he wanted to. They used him with the United States to bring the American people into agreement to go into World War I against Germany. The largest ethnic group in the United States at that point was German, and they didn't want to go into the United States. They didn't want to have a war, and they did it anyhow because of the marketing that was being used by the advertisers controlled by the same group of people. And so this is the thing that we have right now. We have a bunch of data points and algorithms that have been set up as far as what's going to happen to you, the American population, your family, if this happens. And they know what's going to happen. They know. Now you hear about the red list and the black list and the blue list and the whatever list, A list, B list. They know who we all are. They know me and Austin. They know Doug. They know all of us. And the thing about it is that we've got to realize that, you know, God's here to protect us, and that these guys are doing everything they possibly can and have done everything they possibly can for many, many, many years in order to control groupthink. And this is what they continue to do, Doug. And you know what bothers me more than anything else is the fear about what they believe and what they're planning on doing. And I'm going to read you this real quick because they're trying to stoke fear up, because fear feeds these entities that kind of run the planet. They kind of like you to be scared about everything. So I'm going to give you some hope right now, some encouragement. I wanted to do this. Now listen to these verses from the Bible. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Psalms 34:4-1. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world, being Lucifer. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with peace, all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, that's what we have as Christians. We have our hope, and we have our hope in glory. Because guys, if we don't have the ability to stay part of the solution here, then we become part of the problem. If we want to pretend like, you know, none of this stuff is happening, and we're going to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it, and whatever happens is okay with us, then we're probably going to have some really negative stuff happen to us. But guys, we've got to realize, when God Almighty sent Jesus Christ for you, he became your covenant head, your covenant partner. And what happened is, as a covenant head, a covenant partner, we're in relationship with God Almighty. It's like a blood covenant. Remember when the old Indians would cut one hand, another one would cut another hand, and put their hands together, they became blood brothers. You saw this with the outlaw Josie Wales with Clint Eastwood. You know, that's what they did. Now, if you watch those movies, they don't really explain to you what that means. When we have a blood covenant through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, we become one with God Almighty. He's our covenant head. And when we're one with him and our covenant head, we become part of him. He becomes part of us. And he shares with us a tiny, tiny percentage of whatever you can handle is of his omnipotence. That's why the Bible says, ask whatever you will and it'll be given unto you. Through prayer, right? Through the scalar waves. We've talked about that on the show many times. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us because of that connection we have with God through the Holy Spirit, through the blood of the Lamb. But we also are given spiritual discernment because we're being led by the Holy Spirit. The other day, I had a fellow talk show host. I'm not going to mention any names. And they were in Washington, D.C. And they had a woman there who was basically supposed to be this government insider who was working with the top guy from NSA. And they wanted me to talk to her. Well, Doug, after about 30 seconds talking to this lady, I knew she was crazy as a loon. She was nuts. I mean, she like was certifiably nuts. She needed to be put in a little padded cell somewhere. And I didn't say anything to my friend. I just kind of listened to this lady loon on for about 20 minutes. And finally, I said, I got to go. I didn't give her any of my contact information, my telephone number, nothing, emails, nothing. I said, I'm not, this lady's loon. She's nuts. I'm done. Well, about 4 days later, my friend calls me back. She goes, that lady out you talked to the other day, you know, I was with her about 4 days. You know what? She's nuts. And I said, yeah, I know. I knew that after 30 seconds. She goes, well, how'd you know that? I said, discernment through the Holy Spirit. See, God gives us the ability to discern things. This is why when I saw what was going on with this coronavirus back in January, I started praying about it. I said, God, I said, this one looks like it's going to be real. And then I talked to my buddy in China, and he told me, like, it was like the apocalyptic Charlton Heston movie, The Omega Man. And he says, it's that bad. And I talked to him this week. I mentioned this earlier. And it hasn't gotten any better over there. He's still seeing blue skies. And they're telling us, oh, everything's back to work. No, it's not. And so what they're wanting us to believe is that they've got a solution for this. But they really don't. This whole thing, and you got to realize, one of the primary ways they want to depopulate the planet is through vaccinations. And I talked about one other thing this week. I'm going to say it again. Oprah Winfrey, this is on my show with Ted Dawson Brewer Show. Oprah Winfrey said years ago, Doug, I don't know if you remember her saying this or not, but she still had her own show. She was talking about racism. And she said that until all the old white men are dead, like 40 up at that point, then there's not going to be any sign that racism's ever going to end in the United States. Okay. And there is some truth to that because a lot of folks were raised in the old South and it was a very racist society. I remember when I was a child seeing some pretty racist stuff go on. Okay. But there's also something else that she didn't bother to mention, that via the Frankfurt School that was brought to us in 1933 to destroy nationalism. When you destroy the old white men, now would be the ages 50 and up, you also destroy nationalism in the United States, which is what the goal of the Frankfurt School was from the very beginning, to basically bring communism and a new world order into the United States and to destroy Christianity. When you do this, when you destroy the old white men and the old black men who were patriots and the old Hispanic men who were patriots, who saw the rise and fall of Fidel Castro in Cuba, who got out of Cuba, who saw it all, when you kill all the old guys over the age of 50 and you no longer have nationalism, then you have a group of children that have been programmed for groupthink. They've been programmed with iPhones. They've been programmed with tablets. They've been programmed to believe whatever they see on social media, and their actions are controllable via Snapchat, via Facebook, via all these different apps they have on their phones now. How many followers do you have? I remember I had a girl ask me that one time. How many followers do you have on Snapchat? She was like 20 years old, and I looked at her. I started laughing, and I said, well, I've got millions of YouTube views, and she goes, that doesn't mean anything now. How many followers do you have on Snapchat? And my response was, I don't do Snapchat. And she looked at me kind of funny, like, you're irrelevant. You don't mean anything at this point. And she goes, oh, I thought you had people who listen to you, who follow what you do. And I'm like, well, we do. We have our own talk show. No, it's Snapchat. That's what they want, Doug. They want to have that social media control like they already have in China. Let's give you a social credit score. If you listen to the Doug Hagman Show or Dave Hodges or you follow the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, we're going to give you a minus here. So next time you want to buy a bus ticket, it's going to cost more. Next time you buy train tickets, it's going to cost more. Next time you want to get on an airplane, we're not going to let you. What do you mean? Well, we're also going to set up some checkpoints too, and we're going to have it in your driver's license. When we swipe your ID, your real ID, it'll give us all the talk shows that you listen to. It'll tell us whether you've been immunized or vaccinated or whatever. It'll tell us what you believe. It'll give you a credit rating score of what the trooper needs to think about you when they pull you over. Think it's not real? It's real. That's where this is headed. Think, well, no, that would never be that way. So funny. Steve, who works with me at Health Masters, I've known Steve for over 40 years. He and I went to college together at Florida State University, and good friend. And he told me the other day, he goes, you know, Ted, I was reading your books that you wrote over 20 years ago. And he said, you know what's funny about this is? He says, the stuff that you were saying 20 years ago, nobody believed as far as the health information that I was giving out. He goes, now it's mainstream. People everywhere are talking about what you brought into the forefront 20 years ago. And I looked at Steve and I said, that's because I'm led by the Holy Spirit. See, God will show you discernment and give you discernment. So if you're wondering where this whole conversation is going, you've got to learn to discern. That's so important. If you don't learn to discern, you're going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching. You know, remember what Goebbels said? He said, it's very easy. I believe he said this during the Nuremberg trials, unless it wasn't Goebbels, maybe one of the other guys, one of the other Nazi guys. And he was talking about how to control groupthink is what he was talking about. And he goes, it's very easy to get someone to do what you want them to do in a society. You just make them anti-patriotic if they don't do it. And you make the other people basically shun them or basically ridicule them. And I'm paraphrasing this, in the event that they don't listen to do what you want to do. And everybody's lockstep and does exactly what you want. This is what happened to Germany. This is what happened to Germany. The propaganda apparatus became so absolute they could make the German people believe, as Hitler had fled to Argentina, that there were going to be super weapons released, as the young children, the 10 and 12 year old children, were in the doggone trenches in the streets of Berlin having their heads blown off by the Russians because they really believed that Hitler was going to come to their rescue because they had been propagandized so much, Doug, they believed everything they were told. And this is what they wanted to do here in the United States. Now they've done it. They've got people believing anything they want to. Now, the other day, I was at the movie theater And I went to the movies. I saw a really good movie the other night. It's called Call of the Wild with Jack London. It was a Jack London book, and it was starring Harrison Ford. It's done terrible at the box office because no one went to the movies because basically everybody's scared of coronavirus. Sharon and I went there at 7:30 at night. This is like two nights ago, and it was empty. I mean, we were the only people in the theater, so we disinfected the seats, sat down, and thought, wow, we can leave our cell phones on, and we can talk through the whole show now because nobody cares. Nobody's in here but us. And what was interesting, when I left, there were a couple other people walking out of other theaters, like four people there that night. The whole theater, 12 movie Cineplex. And there were like four people walking outside, and there were two people standing behind the counter. They worked there, and I said to them, one of them's like 21, 22 years old. I said, what do you guys think about the coronavirus? They said, it's nothing. It's no big deal. I said, okay. I said, you don't think it's any big deal? They said, no. I said, what about your job? And they said, what do you mean, what about our job? And I said, there's nobody here. I said, how long is the theater going to stay open? They said, well, we haven't thought about that. And I said, it's a big deal. You know, yesterday, I raised, because when I was on your show back a month ago, I said my corona assessment was like a 4 to 6, as far as on a 1 to 10 scale, 10 being bolt your windows closed and tape up to the glass and everything else. Stay at home and don't leave. And it was 6 till yesterday, or till Donald Trump's little speech, Doug. And then when they started closing everything down, I raised it to an 8. Now, here's why I raised coronavirus to an 8 on a 10 scale. It wasn't because the coronavirus itself is that bad. If you take the proper antioxidants, it's not a big deal as far as I'm concerned. That's my opinion. It's what's happening from the fallout all around it and the shutdown of the economy, the shutdown of the world's engine. The world's a giant engine of commerce. And when you shut it down, you don't just start it up again. It has to reboot. It has to take a while to get going again. So this could be a year, 2 years, until we end up having them say, we can't reboot the system. We need a new world order. We need a new world financial system. We need a new world leader. We need a new world religion. That's where this is headed, because they're shutting the whole system down right now. So these guys were sitting there talking to me at the movie theater, and they were acting very laissez-faire about the whole thing. And I looked at them. I said, you know what, guys? You know, neither one of you have reached the age of concrete rational thought yet, which basically happens about the age of 23, according to Maslow. And chances are you may not, because most people never reach that. I said, but this is a lot more serious than you think it is. You guys think this is just a joke. It's not a joke. And I said, this is a bioweapon, according to multiple resources and multiple scientists, including Harvard-trained PhDs, that's been released on the population of the planet for eugenics, reduce the population, and to collapse the financial system. And they said, what do you mean? They said, where are you getting your information? And I said, tell you what, Google me. Because, you know, they have Google on their phones. They put in Ted B, and I popped in, Ted Brewer popped up. And I said, that's me. And I said, guys, I'm not trying to tell you that I'm clairvoyant and I have all the answers. But what I am telling you is this. You need to turn off the TV set. You need to start following alternative news. Listen to the Ted Dawson Brewer show. Listen to the Hagman show. Listen to the Hodges show. Realize what's going on around you and get awake really fast, because you don't have a lot of time. Look around you. There's four people in the theater tonight. The system's coming apart. And they looked at me and go, well, we didn't think about that. We'll definitely check it out. I said, nah, you probably won't. That's okay. I've told you now. I'm that watchman on the wall that's warned you. And I hope and I pray that you do check it out. What do you think, Doug?
Well, yes. Yes.
Yes.
But you can put a period right there. You know, look. As I followed your track, pretty much everything you stated is what I've been saying. I mean,
we've all been saying it, Doug, you know?
Yeah. And the only question I have, and I would toss this out to the people listening and viewing this, is where does this end? I mean, will this end with our acquiescence to a one world, new world order? Are we going to acquiesce to a mass surveillance state that poses a greater threat than the actual event itself? Not to downplay the event, but, so this is what I'm, I would just put a period after everything you said, and I'm ready just for a mic drop moment, and not me, but I mean, just have the mic drop and walk away. And, you know what? I think the people who either haven't decided or who have decided inconsistent with the facts have made an egregious error. So the bottom line is this. Are we going to change any more minds? Are we preaching to the choir at this point? Are we doing any good? That's my question, because I'm looking for somebody to put in my resignation to. Seriously. At this point, does it matter?
Well, you know, you know, you,
Go ahead.
You know, you said something about that the other day, Chuck Baldwin. And I know a lot of guys. I know a lot of you guys don't like Chuck Baldwin. I love Chuck Baldwin. I'm standing with Chuck Baldwin. I love Chuck Baldwin. And he said basically that we've been sold down the river and that we have believed that Donald Trump is going to do what he says he's going to do at his conventions, which he's done a few of those things, but he's also the one that pushed the red flag gun laws last summer. We forgot about all that. You know, with Senator Lindsey Graham, we forgot all about that one. And they said that short of arming Iran, he said this in the art, I'm paraphrasing Chuck, he said short of arming Iran and nuking Israel and wiping it off the face of the map, that the evangelicals will not question anything Trump does, that they're basically it's God worship, Messiah worship, or whatever, I'm paraphrasing Chuck now, of Donald Trump. And I tell people, I say, look, I like it when Donald Trump says stuff that's right, but I like it a lot more when he does stuff that's right. But when he does stuff that's wrong, we can't do what we did with George W. Bush and forget about it, pretend like he didn't just do that. And we've got to hold his feet to the fire, if we even have the ability to hold his feet to the fire any longer, if the office of the presidency isn't just a figurehead position and he's following a script given to him by the international banking cartels, and we were all sold a bill of goods when we voted for him 3.5 years ago. Now, I don't want to believe that, but I'm to the point now where I pretty much do believe that. I believe that, Doug, that like you said, we are pretty much at this point preaching to a rah-rah hoopla section of our own listeners who basically agree with what we have to say, or they've already turned this show off tonight if they don't agree with me, right, as a guest, or right, you as a host. I mean, that's how we look at it. But what I have to believe is this. I believe that we have to look at a higher level. I mean, I want to be able to get to heaven and God say to me, well done, faithful, thy good and faithful servant. I want people to realize that we've got to fight the good fight to the end. Because, guys, if people get saved through this, if people accept Jesus Christ through this, if people start to question Donald Trump because of his inability to handle something like a virus and not have test kits available, you know, we've got to start asking ourselves questions. What's going to happen if we have a brokered convention with the Democratic Party? What if Biden and Hillary Clinton decide that they're going to be the ticket? What if they decide that Biden basically has senile dementia, which I believe that he does, and Hillary Clinton takes over the office? I mean, what if all these things? Then we have to ask another question. Are we still looking at the same sides of the coin with Clinton or with Trump? I don't know. Otto Kahn said we were in that article that I've quoted on USA Guys so many times. He was the guy, he built the second biggest home in the United States, just under the Biltmore estate. He said the international bankers control the earth. They hold it by its axis and they turn it any way they want to turn it to get their desired outcome. He said that they control both the communism movement and the nationalist movement and free enterprise. He said they control everything. And he says they use communism as a brake, and they use basically free enterprise as an engine, and they can make the planet do whatever they want to do and turn it in any direction they want to turn it in to get their desired outcome. That's what Otto Kahn said. Now, he was one of the founding members, you know, of the Federal Reserve Bank in 1913, and he had built the second biggest home in the United States, just slightly smaller than the Biltmore estate. I mean, this guy was super rich, or he was another Rothschild cutout, probably. But the point is this. This is the group that runs the planet, guys. And you got to walk and see, these guys are so corrupt, and their Babylonian money magic is so evil and so horrible. And it's a giant Ponzi scheme, and they had to find a way to cover their tracks. And what a perfect way to do that, by unleashing a pandemic on the planet and causing a global financial collapse. They can say, we had nothing to do it. It was the Corona virus. By the way, when I listened to Donald Trump with his little 9-minute speech the other night, telling everybody that they're going to basically stop the travel from Europe, to me, it sounded an awful lot like George W. Bush saying, you know, we are at war. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. But now it's not terrorists anymore, is it? It's the coronavirus. It had the same tenor, the same type of speech. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. You're with us or you're with the coronavirus, Doug.
Well, look, I think in my view, I disagree a touch with you there. Although I know he doesn't like, teleprompters. Now, he had a news conference today at 3:00. Of course, I'm going to be talking about that, folks, independent of probably throughout the weekend here on this channel. But here's the thing. They unleashed this virus, I think, Ted. This was as much a weapon against this administration than it is against the American, or against the world, I should say. This is in my view. I think the deep state has a disdain for President Trump. I don't know. Do you think that or no? I think they hate him.
No, I don't. I don't believe that at all. I believe that the media is being used as an engine against Donald Trump to make us believe that he's telling us the correct narrative. I believe that we basically are being sold a bill of goods so that the patriots and the people who basically are armed in the United States, who are waiting hopefully not for a Russian revolution or somebody to come over here and attack the United States, to stand in defense of their country. So they basically allow Donald Trump to do whatever he wants to do. I believe they're controlling both sides of the narrative, Doug, because I know that he was bought out by the Rothschild Banking Inc. in 1989 with Wilbur Ross, and I know that he was one of his primary. I'm just telling you the way I see it now, because after 3 years of this, you know, and I'm more leaning with Chuck Baldwin, and I hope and pray that I do what's right with Donald Trump. I pray for him all the time. I hope and pray that he gets convicted to tell the people the truth. But guys, we've got to stand firm in what we know right now. We've got to protect ourselves and protect our families. And starting with that, we have to keep our hands clean, keep them washed, and make sure we take supplements to keep our immune system strong. That's all we can do at this point. And believe in God for deliverance. That's all
and
we can
there,
do.
I 100% believe in what you just said there. I really do. Ted, I want to thank you. What an engaging conversation that was. All right, that was Ted Brower. Dr. Ted Brower from HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com, HR5, is the coupon code. The best supplements, the best nutritional supplements you can buy. And do yourself a favor. Order right now. Order tonight. May God bless. Thank you, everyone. Have a great weekend. And watch this channel, by the way, for additional updates.